Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation. Half the squad is in the building. Myself, Ice, no bitch ass, ho ass Brennan, no ho ass bitch ass Rob in the building.
Ho ass bitch ass Rob, ho ass bitch ass Brennan. Back in this bitch, you are now in tune to the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
What's cracking, y'all? Where the hell is Rob at, anyways? Is he?
They're both in New Mexico.
They're both in New Mexico. Still to this day, right now.
Or still to this day.
Still to this day. Yeah, they both.
Like, there's a legend about them.
They get back tomorrow.
Yeah. Because Rob hit me with like his his thoughts on both of the shows, and after watching Bleach, I hit up I text Brennan. I was just like, "Yo, Brennan, you must not have watched the episodes yet, because you would have been." Going nuts.
Busting
nuts.
Did I talk to Brennan about Bleach?
Because he hit me about My Hero, and I'm imagining this is to that level or better for him, what would happen these two episodes. And he's like, yeah, I saw it. I was just like, wow, all right. You're giving me nothing here. So it seemed like he didn't give a fuck. But yeah, man, you know, we do every...
He's wild. I'm surprised. I didn't hit him about it.
Maybe he hit Rob, or did he hit... Cam has seen it too. Maybe he hit Cam. You know, we do.
Did he talk to you about it, Cam?
Let me look under text.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I said, have you seen Bleach yet? He said, yes. I'm so impressed and sad. That was it.
Really? That's shocking. I'm as much as he be in his fucking...
Yo, I can't believe...
I was doing that.
Yeah, I did. I was too.
I did it. I'm not even attached.
He doesn't even know what Bleach is about.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's a hoe for that.
But you know what we're doing here. We do a one-off talk our shit debates on some of that. Make sure you join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation, SHUN. Join us. You know, you get some exclusive stuff at the beginning. Yeah, the episodes might be back on YouTube. But the Patreon still gets a good 20 minutes or so up top of just us talking shit, having fun with them, having discussions with them personally, talking about a whole bunch of different things and stuff like that. A little bit of anime news real quick. Dragon Ball Super is going to be back, man. Well, Super Manga. Dragon Ball Super Manga is going to come back. And yes, it is a storyline that's going to revolve. At least this particular one is going to revolve around Trunks.
Oh, wow.
And and Goten. So it's going to revolve around, I think, them. I think it's going to take place right before the Gohan movie that just Dragon Ball Super. I think it's going to catch you up to probably how they grew up and got stronger, or how they were fighting, whatever. They kind of whatever.
But they weren't in the movie, were they?
Yeah, remember they fused and they were fat. They were fat Gotenks.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, they were fat Gotenks fighting against them. Remember Trunks had a bubble vest, and I was pissed off.
Oh yes.
Yeah, yep. So they will be bringing that back. I think the next chapter will be December, I think, and they'll be talking about that. And I think it's gonna probably start off a little slow. Probably this arc might even be boring, to be honest with you. With
in
them,
his fucking pants.
Yeah, I don't really necessarily care for it too much, but I will be tuning in. You know, I'm a big fan. But, you know what we're gonna get into next? We're gonna get into the poll. We have a nice little poll set up for you guys. As always, keep one, lose two forever. What is this about, Ice?
Yeah. So this is some people are calling this a revenge poll for the poor. For the poor response that we got for the week before last poll, which was the Titans and the Demon Slayers. You guys had the Titans whooping the Demon Slayers by a very large margin.
You're wild.
Which is very, very, very wild. There are some people that's been still making some solid points about that. Y'all been holding on to that last poll for a little minute, so I think this might be an ongoing battle till the end of the anime, and we can probably revisit this again once you guys seen all of both Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer, because I wonder if you guys' thoughts will change once seeing the rest of these mature. But this is keep one, lose two. So we put three things up. You get to keep one of these and lose two of them. So the first one was anime / cartoons, both shows and movies. So, you know, all of anime, all the cartoons. So you get the Batman, rest in peace, to the voice of the Batman, whose name is lost on me.
Yeah, but I think it's Kevin. Man, I apologize.
Yeah, my bad. But Batman voice, because I want to make sure I show him Kevin Conroy.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Kevin Conroy. Also,
the Green Ranger, man.
Rest in peace,
that Jason David Frank, man.
Tough.
Rest in peace, the Green Ranger, man. I mean, goddamn, that was that.
I mean, both of these were our childhood.
Both of them, yeah. Facts.
Huge
part
of my childhood. He's literally like the voice of Batman. That's all I know is the voice of Batman for me personally. That I can easily recognize.
I mean, what else?
Him and Mark Hamill. I mean, Mark Hamill as Joker. Like that was like the 1-2 punch. Like they really needed, you know, really relied on each other. So I mean, they was a. That's the still to this day. I mean, Batman Beyond is fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's in that too. He plays Bruce Wayne,
and he plays Bruce Wayne in that. But those are like 1 and 2 for me of like Batman. And I think that was really my big introduction, like the Phantasm movie. That was one of my favorite Batman animated movies. And then when Batman was having such a tumultuous live action movies, the animated movies were holding him down. Kevin Conroy had a big part of that. So shout out to him. Rest in peace to him. Rest in peace to the Green Ranger, man. I think he was such a pivotal part of my childhood.
Jason David Frank, man.
And
it was Jason in the show too, wasn't it?
No, the Red Ranger was Jason.
Tommy,
my boy, White Ranger. White Ranger, Green Ranger, the menace with the flute. Beep, he made flutes beep, gangster. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep. I remember
he
that, man.
He made.
Wait, Cam, you too young for Power Rangers, aren't you?
No,
at least.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I don't know.
How
if they
old
were.
Are you, Cam?
27.
Okay.
I feel like Power Rangers, at least the original ones.
Very early. I was watching reruns mostly.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But I was definitely.
That's first. Like came on right when I got home from school. I was in like second, third. And I was a little bit younger. I was probably like first grade. Like, that was my shit. Like, and that arc of the Green Ranger was fucking nuts.
Man.
Like, when he hopped into their Zord and mixed all of their asses up, that's still the most gangster shit. Nobody really hopped into a Zord like that. He's like, nah, nigga, fuck this Zord shit. I'm pulling up on you, nigga. Like, he whooped their ass out of the Zord.
Yeah.
They cut to all of them falling out of the Zord.
They be flipping out. I love the cut footage because it was none of them, right? Wasn't it like technically all footage from like Japan or whatever?
Yeah,
and they just like do the helmet off scenes.
Anytime
and that's
they
it.
Have their helmets off, it's actually filmed. It was filmed in the U.S. and all the other scenes were filmed in.
That's
Japan
hilarious.
For
that
the
is.
Japanese show.
I mean, I feel like that's a short day for them, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it was super cheap and super easy to make. That's why they made so much.
That's
of
why
it.
They just fucking did it again and again and again because they was just redubbing. Probably like Godzilla and shit. But he did. I mean, he did his thing. All the Power Rangers was dope, man.
Well, who was your guys' favorite Rangers growing up?
Jason David Frank, Green Ranger, Green White. I like White Tiger. White Tiger was my shit.
White
I had the glove that had that made the noises and stuff when you press the button. I love him. I did all of the Rangers. I was Black Ranger for one Halloween, Blue for that. I was never Red. I was never a fan of Jason. Jason was always a scrub to me. Like, especially once the Green Ranger pulled up and then the White Ranger, and Kimberly liked him. Like, Kimberly was fucking with Tommy. She wasn't fucking with Jason.
Yeah.
She was like, man, you better go over there and get you some Yellow Ranger.
She's like, I like the bad boys.
I'm like, yeah. she still liked him when he was green.
Hey, man.
That's, you got to be a cold piece. He wears full heel. And she was still fucking with him. So, I mean, he really brought a lot to both of those characters. And I think when he did transition and be the good guy with the White Ranger, and then even when they gave Jason the White Ranger's gear, like when he gave him the shoulder pads and shit, he still was whack.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel, it was light-skinned Aunt Viv. Like, it was just like,
come on, don't do her like
it was
that,
just
man.
Like, ah, like we fuck with you. But nah, man. Like
we still like the original.
It's still like the original, man. But yeah, rest in peace to Jason David Frank, man. I mean, he's a pivotal part of my childhood. And I mean, did they say what happened to him?
Yeah.
Was that confirmed?
Yeah.
Please.
No, what you think happened and what King Michael put in the chat is correct.
Yeah. So it's like we want to stress talk to somebody. Mental health is very, very important.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been in therapy for 3 years. Talk to anybody.
Please,
we never know what's really going on, but even with him.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. We don't know what really happened, but you know, I just know a lot of things. This industry is heavy on a lot of people, and you can tell by a lot of things that have been happening to people.
Yeah.
So and those people who are always on and always happy in that, checking on those people.
Checking on your strong friends. Well, who was your favorite Ranger?
Oh, okay. Definitely, it was Tommy.
It was Tommy too.
Green, white Ranger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Same. It was Black Ranger. Mm.
I just didn't.
And white Ranger.
When I started getting conscious of lineups, that's when the Black Ranger started to piss me off.
Oh yeah, because his. But I met him in person. He's great. Like he's super. Like he's really cool. He's good friends with CT.
Oh, dope.
And so he'll come over to CT's house and they shot stuff together. And then I think for Clayton's birthday, he was there, and I met him. He was super cool.
Yeah,
he
I've heard he's really cool. Yeah.
He's just like, hey, man, what's going on, man? He would chat it up. He was just like, I think he knows that we, like, grew up on him, too.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
also conscious of it. That was Jason David Frank's big thing, was being a Power Ranger means, like, you got to be, like, a certain kind of person because kids carry that with them forever.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I'm 37, and I was like, I was still kind of like, yo, when I saw, you know, Zach, I was just like,
you kind of go back.
This is kind of crazy to me. Like, it's like, even though, like, you know,
that's
what,
cool, yeah.
And he was cool. And then, how was I going to say?
Would you want to be a Power Ranger?
Like, when I was growing up, I did.
But, like,
sure.
Right now, like, as an actor, would you want to be kind of like a Harry Potter or something like that? Would you want to be something
like
that's so huge that you might not be ever able to break from that character?
Man, that's, ooh.
Depends on if it's a good... Power Rangers has its ups and downs.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
A good season of Power Rangers. Yeah. They got a good group.
Because, I mean, I'm saying a good one, a big one. Because some of those guys, like, I didn't like Turbo. So, like, somebody like Turbo, like, I don't know none of them Turbo motherfuckers. But, like, if you were a big one, like Zeo, I think Zeo was really good.
Lost Galaxy and Space were two of them.
Space was cool. Dino Thunder, I liked. I think that was the last Power Rangers that I actually kept up with was Dino Thunder. I was, like, 12.
Was
and Tommy
fun.
Was in that one.
He was,
Tommy,
he came back for that one.
Yeah, he was the OG in that one. But, yeah, back to the question. Would you want, like, that? What do you think?
I mean, I think right now I wouldn't necessarily bother me just because I'll still be doing stand-up, and I think that would still help me out. That'll still help me in being able to do other things because I'm like, it's that. But, like, I would, I mean, I don't know. If the check is good and the script, and I'm watching this, like, the script looks pretty good. It's like going to be another 5 to 7 year one. It's going to be a syndication forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you eat forever. These guys are, they're one in that. They have their own, I think they have their own con, right? Like a power con, whatever it's called, a ranger con, something like that.
Yeah,
my
sure
only thing is, like, I would be cool with that longest, like, if it is a Harry Potter, I'm the good guy. I don't want to be like a betrayal character. Like, I don't want to be somebody that's knocking out women or, like, I'm the pedophile character. Like, damn, y'all got me as a pedophile for 15 years. Like, I played the shit out that role, but that's going to hurt. Like, you look at me as a...
Like, you don't... I don't think you picked that role. I think at that point when you know, like, if they go, like, here, they're like, yo, Keen, you're going to be... The role is you being a pedophile. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to pass on this one.
Yeah.
It's like, what I learned from a lot of actors that do well that I'm cool with, they always say... one of the best things you can do is say no. And this is like a lot of us were afraid to because of,
you know.
I want that money. I just want to say it.
I've already rejected a couple that I saw. Not that they were roles, but auditions. And I just read the audition and it was just like, no. Yeah. No. Because it's like one of the things said must be comfortable with dildos. And I was like, nah, I'm good. No. Not at all.
Real quick before you get onto the poll, did you guys ever see that Green Ranger, like, when he came back? Well, I think it was the Evil Ranger.
Did they do a video? Yeah.
Like a YouTube one.
I don't know
I think he was, like, killing people in there.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Power / Rangers?
Yeah.
Yeah, the knockoff they made? I did see
But he was he in did, it, I think.
No, he didn't come back for that one.
Oh.
He said it was too violent for him. But then they did do it.
They
one.
Did do one where
they
he
did
fought.
Do one. He's in that throne.
Yeah.
I saw the image of him in the throne. I didn't watch it, but I
They did one where he fought Scorpion.
Well, that might be when I watched.
I think that's what you were talking about.
Yeah. It was like they do like the verses between like two characters. Yeah, he fought. That shit was dope.
It was one where he was in it because he took his helmet off and it was him.
Yeah. I feel like he was
on a dock or something like that, and they had like big ass containers and shit like that, and he was fighting outside. It was an outside fight, and then after he won, he took his helmet off and it was him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was him that did the stunts, but it was
he does all the stunts. He's an MMA fighter. That's
yeah,
he
was.
Became,
oh yeah,
he was nice. Yeah,
he knew how to do all that. He actually invented his own martial art form.
Did he?
Yeah, and had a school for it.
Shit, that was. Yeah, so shout out to our
Kevin,
thoughts and prayers and stuff like that to both of them, Kevin Conroy, Jason David Frank. Prayers to their families and everything like that. You want to get into the poll?
Yeah, so the poll, keep one, lose two. First one is anime. anime and cartoons, they all the same. They go together. All the anime movies, all the Pixar stuff, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., Coco, all of those would be included in the anime cartoons. All the shows that's involved with them, all the cartoons that's involved with those. Ed, Edd n Eddy, Courage the Cowardly Dog, all of those guys are in there. Bleach, One Piece, all of that. Fuck One Piece, but it's in there too. Second would be video games. And any questions about the video games? Anime video games are included because a lot of people play anime video games and don't watch the anime. So, so Ninja Storm is in there, Dragon Ball Z, Budokai, all of that stuff is included with video games. And then we have live action TV and movies. So, you know, stuff like Atlanta. Then you got movies like Black Panther and stuff like that. So, those are the three. You get to keep one of those and lose two. So, either keep anime and lose video games, live action TV, keep video games, lose anime and live action, or keep live action TV and movies and lose video games and anime. Keenan, what you getting rid of?
The two I'm getting rid of?
Which one are you keeping? Which one are you keeping?
Damn, man. Well, video games is gone for me because, I know that's first, but like for me, that's what I guess I deal with the least, even though I like video games. Bro, live action and movies, bro. This is a stupid question. That's what this is. This is dumb.
It's hard, like, man. You got to do it. I wanted to make it hard this week.
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to keep live action TV and movies.
Really?
Yeah, cuz I feel like as of right now I might watch that a little bit more. I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, all these Marvel movies coming out, not being able to ever see them. The shows, I mean, I love Abbott Elementary. I love these TV shows like that. I would be like, dog, I can't. I watch that stuff more. I'm literally like in the middle of watching The Wire. We just finished season 3. It's like, now I can't finish The Wire.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I feel like with anime, there's like some anime that I really, really love that I have to watch. And it's like, I'm going to be bummed not being able to watch them. But it's just like
you put in Jujutsu Kaisen fight, nothing pops up.
I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be hurt, man. But now it's just like, all right, I had those memories still at the end of the day. And it's just like, yo, if I don't know what season 2 holds, I think after a few years, I'll just be like, well, fuck it. It is what it is. I can't watch season 2. It's just gone. And I hate you for making this question. That's all. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Killer Cam.
I think I said live action TV movie.
You keep it like
action. Without those, I wouldn't have a job. So.
Yes. Yeah. How does he even get the recording? Came just set the cameras up. Right, you guys. I'm out.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's close. It's tough. Especially me being a filmmaker, being a stand-up comedian. Obviously, live action TV and movies is such a thing. I mean, I was just, you know.
Wait, so is there like a group of people who get the anime and then they're over there watching other anime and you have to look at it from afar because you didn't pick that one?
No, you don't get to see it at all. Like, if you were to look over there, it's a blank screen. It's just a blank. You don't
it's
see
like,
it.
Yeah, it's like when you get older and you can't hear certain radio frequencies. Yeah,
yeah. Imagine them just go, I don't see it.
You don't even see it. Same thing. If you pick live action and somebody over there playing Smash Bros, it just looked like some dudes just sitting there going like this. No, you don't see nothing.
Yeah, just having so much fun.
Exactly. It's close for me. I'm gonna go with anime. I think it's close, but I think for me, especially still being a filmmaker, I think anime pushes the boundaries of what cameras can do. And like some things you can do in anime, you definitely can't do in live action and TV. So I think that I would still get some filmmaking stuff out of that, and I can still do filmmaking. I can still direct, you know, animated movies and stuff like that. Or I can also make live action movies and TVs. I just would never be able to watch it. Like, I'd never be able to get to watch my work, and I would just have to have people tell me if it's good or bad. Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna go with anime, but it's a very, 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 very slim margin. And video games is not too far behind. I don't have the time that I used to play video games, but I love video games probably more than all three of these on this list. But just based on where I am in life right now, anime would be the one that I choose.
All right. Let me see.
What do you guys think? Y'all tell me. Pop up in the chat. Patreon, let me see what y'all say on our rating to see where we at. So we got bye-bye live action and movies. But okay, but what else was the other one? Anime? So you picked anime. Okay. Video games. All right. And video games again. Okay, cool. It was a lot of video games. I honestly, when I made this poll, I thought video games was going to like give anime a run from his money. I figured live action would probably be the lowest, which it was. Oh, just to answer the poll, anime won 58%. Video games came in at second at 28%. And then live action TV and movies came in at third with 14%. Again, I am surprised by that. I thought it was going to be like a bigger battle between anime and video games. So got a poll dropping for y'all tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. I want to keep this hard vibe going, or I might make it a little bit easy and have something everybody can joke about. We'll see. It's either going to be a good conversation or a gauntlet. No in between over here.
All right, thank you for that poll, Ice. And next, we are going to, you know, we did the reviews and we watched episodes 5 and 6 of Chainsaw Man and Bleach. We're going to go Chainsaw Man first. And this is your whack-ass recap. I'm going to try to power through this, and this is going to might sound like Eminem, some type shit right now.
Cinema Twin Shadies.
All right, starting off, episode 5, a Chainsaw Man, continuing from the point where power allows our homeboy Denji to touch upon some boobies for his first time and fulfill his dream. Denji seems very, very starstruck. He spends his waking and sleeping and hours contemplating his dreams, and he feels a sense of loss rather than fulfillment. He gets rather disheartened, and when he feels no joy for fulfilling his simple dream, this is in the case of a lot of people in real life. Denji, this time around, he gets to sit there, and he's, you know, he gets to touch on the breasts, and he gets one feel, and they feel really, really nice, and then the pads drop out, and then he gets the chance to touch on some raw, braless boobies. And
not raw. He got to still touch it through the shirt.
Through the shirt. But he gets that chance.
It's a lot more. It's a little bit more pure.
He gets to feel the braille little bumps on the areola. You know how those little bumps across
that's my
the
shit.
Yeah. He gets to feel on those, and he feels on those, and he's like, wow, this is kind of crazy. It's not what the fuck I thought it was going to be. It's not as popping as I thought it was going to be. Mm. And then eventually he ends up going to, what's her name? Is it Makami? Yeah, he ends up going to Makami, and he starts talking to her, and he tells her about like his dream. She's like, well, you know, technically, she said some deep shit to him. She said some kind of dope shit. She was just like, yo, when you're feeling on a girl, it's actually, when you're being intimate with somebody, it's actually better when you get a chance to know them,
that's true,
like them, you know, get a feel for them, you know, touch them. And she's playing a game. She's like getting close to him, like just now, like kind of touching, like almost touching her lips to his lips. You know, he gets a chance. It's like her smell kind of like gets on him a little bit. She's like all that stuff like that. And he's just like, he's so enamored by her. And then he gets a chance to grab her breast.
Yeah.
And it feels different for him. He gets more excited. He falls back.
He's like, oh shit!
And then she squats over him. Like, you don't do that to this man. Why are you doing this to this boy, man? Squats over this guy. You know, butt to nut. And,
butt to nut.
Butt to nut.
Hey,
and
yo.
Then what? She asks him, like, look, we need you to go and take out this gun devil. He's been wreaking havoc on the world. You know, she kind of dangles the prospect of like possible intercourse if he can get the job done. And so Denji, you know, the gun devil personally is involved in massacring, how you say his name? Hayakawa's? I think that's his name. Pretty much the guy that has him as roommates, the kind of one that's the more chill one.
Aki?
Is it? I think that's his last name, right? Aki.
Yeah, you can just call him Aki.
Aki.
Yeah. Make it easier on yourself.
Yes, definitely. so yeah, that gun devil actually murdered his whole family. Like literally took out one point like with 3 million people with one fucking shot. It was crazy.
And he saw it happen.
Yeah, so we got a little flashback of Aki's life and when he was younger, and then pretty much his whole family died at the hands of that devil. So he wants revenge. He's like, yo, I want all that smoke. I'm pretty much doing this to find this gun devil and murder this motherfucker. Later on, Aki introduces them both later to his other team members, Himeno, and who leads a group of newbies and is thrilled for the new members. She has had a team of 6 members who were wiped out by other devils, but she survived the assault. This leads her to believing that she was solely responsible for surviving, and then shifting the blame onto her dead comrades because they were too weak, which is kind of fucked up.
Something going on. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't want to be partnered with nobody that lost 6 partners.
Six partners, and
she young. She's like mid 20s. early 30s at oldest.
Yeah, yeah. She keeps, I think something's up with her, to be honest with you. Mm. She's also entered a contract with the Ghost Devil in exchange for her right eye. So that's what her power is that she pretty much has this kind of ghost arm that can like choke you the fuck out. You can't touch it. You can't really see it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. It kind of does some damage. This helps, however, when she rushes to save them in the face of danger, trying to make up from previous teammates. The Gun Devil is identified by little chunks of bullets that magnetize and attract each other from a long distance. This helps the team locate and narrow down pretty much where the Gun Devil might be at. So they end up going to pretty much this hotel and seeing, because the little bullet kind of keeps moving a little bit in there. So they get into the hotel and they're walking around, and I think they end up killing a little head devil. It's like just pretty mm-hmm. much pretty much a dude that's just all head. And pretty much stops up. I mean, he gets choked out a little bit, and then power pretty much goes, it's my turn, and just slices motherfucking half, kills him real quick. And that's pretty much where episode 5 ends. Episode 6 picks it right where the last one left off, with him standing on the staircase. Himinoro also runs down the same staircase, only to show that they just keep reentering the same floor, which is floor 8. And they're now realizing they're trapped on floor 8. Aki begins to investigate one of the hotel rooms. He realizes that all the windows are open and adjacent to other hotel rooms. The team gathers to assess everything that they know about the situation besides the window and the staircase. They also know that the elevator is not working, and any attempts to escape only lead them right back to the 8th floor. Denji wonders if what's messing with them now is a curse from when they killed the other devil earlier that power killed. But Aki explains that the devils cannot keep their powers intact if they're killed. Himino asks if the piece of the gunmetal flesh that have reacted at all, but it's gone and dead, still prompting her to think that there may be a way to be an elaborate scheme by a different devil. Fear begins to overcome some of their other devils hunters, especially Kabino, and I think Kabino was the girl that was just like, she's just wilding out and freaking tripping out the whole fucking thing. She was actually hella annoying.
She was mad annoying.
But what's kind of crazy is that Power actually takes great, she takes great joy in seeing somebody fear. So she's kind of just laughing the whole time while the other girl's just freaking the fuck out because she feels like she's been stuck in there. They haven't even been there for days, have they? Maybe like a day or two? I guess we don't know, but the time has pretty much stopped.
Yeah.
After realizing that every clock in the room is stuck at 8:18, Aki wonders if the time is frozen on the floor. If that's the case, and not even back up from them. Denji is surprisingly optimistic, but there's a chance, and even decides that this would be the perfect time to catch him on some extra sleep. He ends up going to sleep, and then
he was knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. Then pretty much the next day, to end this recap off, the next day, the monster kind of comes, the devil kind of comes back. It was that same devil, and he pretty much tells him like, "Look, I want Denji. You give me him so I can eat his motherfucker, put him in my stomach, y'all can get out of here." And he's like, that's the contract I'm offering you. And we start to realize that, and with devils and people, whatever, when they offer a contract, they pretty much gotta, adhere to that contract and keep it real.
You know, don't you die.
Aki's like, "Look, we ain't giving the homie up. He ain't going nowhere. That's his end of the story." Everybody else is kind of like, "Well, why not? We want to get up out of here, give him up.
We don't fuck with him like that, no way."
Yeah, so they keep trying to attack Denji. They're not going for it. The girl ends up actually stabbing Aki, and he's fucked up and shit like that. And eventually, Chainsaw Man, Denji's just like, "Yo, bro, it is what it is. He wants me. I think he's afraid of my chains, so I'm gonna load up Chainsaw, I'm gonna jump into this motherfucker's mouth," and that's kind of where we end off on Chainsaw.
The fact that homegirl stabbed
Aki, yeah, it was just like, after this, she gotta go, bro.
Yeah, you gotta go.
You're done for it. So that's where that ends episode 6 of Chainsaw Man. What do you guys think of this? And I guess let's get into the questions. Could you kill an associate coworker if it would save everyone? Is that your Chainsaw Man question?
Yes. Nah, I couldn't do it. Even if it's ones I don't like, I wouldn't get them up out of here. I think I would try my best to figure out a way to to work around that. Now, if I don't like them too much and they're like, "Nah, man, I'm gonna get up out of here," I'm not gonna be the first person to be like, "Oh no, 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 don't do that." Like. But if I have to get him out of, up out of there, I'm not going to do it. I think, you know, I'm going to work my best to try to figure out a way to get him still alive.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, that's my thing, is just having a conscience. I wouldn't be able to live with myself and be able to. It just reminded me of that that movie Brothers, I think we talked about here before, mm-hmm. with, what's his name? Spider-Man.
Andrew Garfield?
No, the first Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire,
where it was just like they're literally trapped. Like, you know, I think they get held hostage, and it's just like, yo, here's like a little weapon. You got to kill your partner, or you can't go home. Mm. And he made him kill his partner so he can go home, and it was fucked up. He was damaged for life after that. So damn. I couldn't imagine having to do something to, like, you know, send off. I would be mentally scarred for life. I wouldn't be able to live myself.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I would have to figure out a plan, man. And then if I could sacrifice in that particular moment, I mean, I think I would probably rather have that happen. If that's mm-hmm. the case, that I try trying to save us, and then that is what it is. I think me personally, that's how I would feel. What was something that you was chasing for a long time, and when you finally got it, it wasn't as satisfying as you thought? Shit. You know, Denji got the booze. I'm going to be real with you, man. This might be kind of a hot take. The first time I had sex, I was like, eh.
Really?
Yeah. It was overrated. The first time, and me and that particular person, me and her, we eventually, like, started having sex, and it got better. Mm. But I remember when I first had sex, I was like, literally, I was like, this is it? This is what motherfuckers is bragging about?
This is what people kill other people for?
Right. And then I took the condom off. And it was different.
It's a different game. It's a different fucking game.
It was a whole different ball game, man. And at that particular point, then it was worth it. But at first, I was just like, I was just like, man, like, all my friends were sitting there bragging about how they're having sex, and I'm sitting there like, man, I can't wait to get my first taste. And I was just like, man, this shit is not as good as people were saying it was. And then I realized it was because it's condom sex. Condom sex is trash.
Condom sex is...
it's fucking garbage. But protect yourself out there.
Protect yourself. I don't know what this man is talking about.
Yeah.
please don't have children. Because you can have children when you're 17, and it's not fun.
What about you? What was something that you chased for the first time, and then you wasn't satisfied when you got it?
I think a viral video.
Mm. I get that.
Cause I was still broke.
Yeah. Was it because your video went viral and you still didn't start to see fame from it? Like you had 1,000 followers, you didn't go up to like 50,000 followers.
Exactly. Because yeah. I think it was a lot of things that played a role into that. The page that reposted it, like, I didn't go viral from my own page.
Got you.
Somebody else caught it, they put it on their page. It got like 2 million views. They didn't tag us.
Ooh,
we didn't. Then this is like, yeah. This is like 2015. Like, so like my boy Matt and I made a video with a couple of our homegirls. And I came out here to shoot the video. I still live in Arizona. I came out here to shoot the video. And we were just like, we got a hit. It's going to be good. And it was good. That was back when Instagram was still 15 seconds and mm-hmm. everything. And Facebook caught it. Instagram caught it. And nobody was tagged, and I was in the comments like, hey, this is me, hey, this is me, hey, this is me, and nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a fuck. We weren't tagged in it at all. And I was just like, this is it? This is what, and I feel like that does have to play a role in it, but at the same time, I'm looking at all these views, and I'm just like, damn, man, I get up at the crack of dawn to make videos every single day to get millions and millions of views, to get some type of notoriety, and this is what it is. Like, this is what being viral is all about. And I was like, man, this is bullshit. Like, yeah, I was very, very disillusioned when that happened.
Yeah, and that's why people started watermarking their pages at that particular point. Whether they put like a little logo that was theirs that said their name on it, because it's like people were literally taking your videos, reposting them, and getting a whole bunch of views without even getting paid. They were just getting the followers from it.
And that was the biggest thing. I'm like, damn, I'm still broke. I can't sue these motherfuckers, really. Like, I can't do nothing about it. And then it was funny, too, because other people were sharing it, and they was like, It kind of gave me a little bit of a taste of fame, but not really. It just showed me how people act and let me know how people act when they think you're famous. Because I had people sharing the video, tagging me like, I knew this guy since second grade. I know he's going to go places. It's just like, bro, I haven't heard from you since fucking second grade.
Yeah.
Like, so it just, and I'm glad that kind of happened because I'm like, okay, I know how people are going to maneuver when I do really make it, and mm-hmm. I need to, you know, be conscious of that.
Yep. Next question. What body part? We kind of asked something similar before about eating a body part from Jujutsu Kaisen. Yeah. In this particular case, I forgot her name, but old girl with the ghost hand, she sacrificed her eye so she can get that ghost hand.
Yep.
What body part would you sacrifice for whatever power that you wanted, an extreme power? Shit. And it can't be it can't be like a piece of your elbow. It has to be like either an eye, your tongue, your fucking a ball, fucking a finger.
I feel like a ball is too easy.
To sacrifice?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because you got a kid, you wouldn't care to lose a ball right now.
But I think
I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to lose a testicle.
You don't need two. You don't need one.
You just need one.
To produce?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a ball, because a lot of men, I'm sure you know personally, they may not have told you, but there's men that you know that have one ball.
Okay. Is that what you're going with?
No, because that's too easy.
What are you going with then?
What are you going with?
Oh, what I'm going with? Man. Oh, man. I'll be honest with you. I was kind of thinking.
Let's do this real quick. The bigger the body part, not in size, but importance to you, the better the power.
Fuck.
Because if you get a pinky, like, okay, you can move stuff within 2 feet with your mind.
What?
Like, I don't know. Just
that
something.
Is it? Yeah. I can only go.
But if you give an eye, you give a hand, you
I can
give
only
a leg,
heat up coffee and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like, you can't do this. Your quirk, you have a little quirk, but versus, like, you either be a little quirk or you give up something big and you can be Inferno or somebody like that. Like,
bro.
You give the bigger you give up, the bigger your power.
Yeah, I would just. I'm gonna go with a finger still. I don't need that much power. The finger that does the least amount of work on my hand. I don't know what would be. Maybe like one of the middle
probably
fingers,
the
ring finger, or something like that.
Probably the ring finger.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I just get a minimal. I get a shitty quirk. Like, I'll be a frog.
Yeah.
Keenan gets frog powers and he acts like a frog. That'll be my fucking. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, to be like Endeavor or even fucking Deku, like you would have to give up like. Probably your penis. Yeah. And it's just like, all right, you are the greatest hero in the world, but
you have no dick.
Yeah, you probably can't have the intimacy that you ever want with a person again. So what would you go with? Since you wanted to add these stakes, motherfucker.
Yeah. I think I probably do the most top shelf thing I would do is probably an eye. I'd probably do an eye.
Well, yeah, y'all for the year Naruto fan, so you be like, I get to be my
cold,
guy.
I'll be cold.
You wear his patch or whatever.
I'll be the coldest motherfucker with an eye patch. It's a conversation starter. I can still be pretty functional. You can just probably can sucker punch me from my left side, maybe.
Your sense is my height, though.
No, your depth perception. Well, the only thing I think it affects is your depth perception a lot.
Yeah, because you can't. Yeah.
You can't see how the close things are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I
think that'd probably be one. And then I get a dope-ass power. I give up an eye.
What do you think you're going to get?
What about like a nostril? Can you give up a nostril?
I feel like that's like mid-tier. You just can't. I mean, if you're a Coke fiend,
some people can only breathe out of one part of their nose anyway.
Yeah.
But isn't that everybody? I thought like right now, if you wanted to inhale, you can only inhale through one nostril.
No. Maybe. No, because.
No.
No.
You probably breathe through both.
If you've been hitting the nose.
No, you can do
you
both.
You can only do one.
Oh, only mine is one.
I mean,
you can get that. Like, you can get that change. You can get that fixed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like called something septum.
Have you been hit in the face and the nose with something?
Like a ball before when I was a kid, but like I feel like that didn't do it.
Like a big ball, like a basketball?
Like a basketball, yeah.
Yeah, no, the cartilage is soft enough that it actually pushes your nose in slightly and it'll block half of your breathing. So you'll
breathe. I thought that was normal.
No, it's not normal. Yeah. But most of us as kids have been hit in the face with something.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I thought I even Googled it. It was just like, yeah, most people can't breathe out of both their nostrils.
I think it's because most people have been hit in the face with something.
Yeah, but it's not like a biological thing.
Oh, shit. I'm a mutant.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's like, you're not a mutant. You just got hit in the fucking face.
Yeah, I think I would get, like, I mean, if I had to choose a power, I think with my eye, I'd probably be able to either see something crazy, x-ray vision, or which is kind of whack. But I would say, like, telekinesis. I think that would be dope, or, you know, something like that.
All right. So that is the end of... Oh, no, we got to get into our likes and dislikes for Chainsaw Man. I go first, because I know you kind of know about Chainsaw Man a little bit more than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as of right now, Chainsaw Man. Let me actually read what Rob said first. Because Rob gave me his likes. So Chainsaw Man, he said, the animation is immaculate, as always, but otherwise it feels like it's a carbon copy of Jujutsu Kaisen, which is a tough comparison to beat. It's not bad, but the whole time I'm watching, I keep thinking about the other show, like, they did it better. I like this better. I did like it. I did like the building on Aki and his partner's backstory, and I like them a lot. Overall score for these two episodes, he gave it a 7,000.
He really dogged it to give it a 7,000.
Yeah, when I was reading that too, I was just like, all right.
Rob with the sharp turns is hilarious.
Yeah, here's the thing. I see what Rob is saying. I was telling Brennan this also. But I still like this show. I'm having a good time watching it. It's enjoyable. I think Denji is starting to grow. I think, you know, him.
Even he acknowledged it. He acknowledged that his goal was bullshit.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, this is not enough. It's like his motivation is getting a little bit bigger. We got some backstory on Aki, and now we know his motivation to get busy, you know what I'm saying, and why he's going to probably be going ham on when he fights whoever this gun.
And they hyped up his sword. Now I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, yep, that too. So it's like, I want to see more of that. I agree with Rob too. The animation is top tier, of course. This is MAPPA doing what they do. I think the story to me was solid. This go around, these two episodes went by fast to me. I don't know. Chainsaw Man goes by pretty fast when I'm watching it.
They get in and get out.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Besides the one girl being annoying, she's my only dislike, but I guess that's a good character because you made me hate her within the episode.
Yeah.
So overall, out of these two, I'm going to give it a 7,400. I still enjoy watching this. I think it needs room to grow. We have, what, 6 more episodes left, I believe?
Okay.
I think it's only 12 episodes.
I
think it's 12. I think so. So I think we're about halfway through. So we'll see how this closes out. But so far, so good to me. Yeah. I think as a hype reason-wise, it's not as hype as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
As of right now.
Not very action-heavy.
It's not. But I think the action, when they do get active, they get active. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, reading the manga, this is cool and animated. I will say one thing that they're catching up to the manga really quickly. Like, I mean, as they should, and I think that they're taking the Jujutsu Kaisen Demon Slayer route of, like, we're not doing any filler. We got this big-ass, this budget, and we're not going to waste it on a baseball episode. So, like, they're really going hard in the paint, and they're catching up to the manga. So I think they're going to really utilize, you know, the off-season after this first season is over for the writer to, you know, make some more issues. But, yeah, I think Aki is that Sasuke... Excuse me, that Sasuke character that's like the brooding, troubled past, avenge my family type of character. And he plays it well. I think the thing, he's a Megumi as well. I think we can't, I guess, in a sense, especially since Chainsaw Man was technically made before Jujutsu Kaisen, we can't punish them for coming out after Jujutsu Kaisen. I understand the comparisons that Rob is saying, but, you know, they made the show. We're not going to deviate because of what they're doing. And I think... as the show grows, you'll get more of the character's backstory, and you'll begin to, you know, people that feel like Rob feel, it'll pay off. I still stand by the show. I stand by it. I guarantee it, because it's really good. Especially some of the stuff that's going to get animated with this type of level of animation is going to be super cool to watch. And I'm enjoying the manga, and I'm enjoying the show overall. These two episodes are cool. They cut it at the great moment of him jumping into the Eternity Demon's mouth. I'm also cool. I can't wait to see Aki's power, to where it's like it takes his sword. If he uses his sword, he loses years off his life. So, you know, if he's holding it back for that moment, then that means, you know, something's coming that he's going to really need to use. And that's going to be a big moment as well. So overall, I'm going to give it a 7,200.
7,200? Okay. So now the Bleach. Bleach, man, episodes, what is it? Was it 4 and 5 that we ended up watching? I believe it was.
I think it was 4 and 5.
Yeah, four and five.
I think it was 5 and 6.
Was it 5 and 6?
Was it 5 and 6?
And then 7.
The new episode is a 7, yeah.
All right, so yeah, this is going to be, I'm going to be skipping around most likely, so excuse me for this recap.
Ice and I'll fill in.
Yeah. So this episode starts out at the Shinigami Research Development Institute. An announcement is made to all society members stating that Ichigo is on his way, fight, man. And all society members are told that Ichigo is on his way and that his Bankai cannot be stolen. The current vice president, Icon continues to track Ichigo's spiritual pressure, but he can't signal anything. He can't find anything. Something's off. He sends a member of the department to wait at the gate. Henshu Mundo and Soul
Hueco Mundo
and Soul Society and Ichigo does not arrive. Continuing where the last episode left off, is it Sternritter?
Sternritter
J is on the course of exterminating Urahara and what's it? Anohu and Chad. And
anyway.
I'm going to butcher this. Yeah. Before he can unleash the fatal strike, Sternritter is defeated by a mysterious figure, literally cut in half. I'm talking Trunks, Frieza style. Got him the fuck up out of here. Urahara seems to recognize them, but based on his expression, the figure doesn't seem to be an ally or a foe to either the Soul Reapers or Strittenheimer. As Strittenheimer's J body was split into two sections, it is safe to assume that he won't be reviving anytime soon. He's dead. He's gone. He's out the field.
Who do you think it was that did it?
Yeah, I was asking Cam earlier.
That did.
That cut him in half. What character do you think? I mean, I can't give you. I don't know anything.
I don't know who you think it is.
Do you remember that one Soul Reaper who was like living in Hueco Mundo that was like that rescued them when Ichigo first got there?
Oh yeah, with the mask.
And he just like disappeared after. He's like, I'm done. I'm gonna go back to what I was doing, and he just never came back.
With the bone mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he didn't say that he was going back. He saved him.
He saved him, and then he was like, I'm gonna stick around here because that's where he's been for X amount of years.
That's a good point.
It's him.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool
review. That'd be dope. I would like that.
He's at a faux aura.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He saved Ichigo. But he's not like a straight up Soul Reaper because he's been there for I think he got lost there or something like that.
Unless it's Ichigo's daddy.
It could be his dad.
That might be his pops.
That would be pretty sweet too.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
His dad supposed to be strong as hell?
We never really got to see his maximum power because he was in very little of the main show. Yeah. He was like very much a side character who he did. Anytime he was doing something, you're like, okay, cool. He could fight, but he never actually went up against someone who was like, he fought Aizen a bit, but that was a short-lived fight. He kind of got him up out of there quick.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like this dude Aizen's no joke when he popped up. We'll get into that later. In a shocking turn of events, Captain Byakuya?
Byaki.
Damn, that wasn't even close. Byaki is severely overpowered and is even after uncovering the truth about Sternritter F's ability, he can't win the fight. As the arrows strike him, he exhibits a clear change in attitude with his Bankai stolen and his chances of winning are slim to none. Fear takes control. The arrows themselves trigger and instinctual fears of their target upon contact. Sternritter F shows just a sadistic how he is in the fight, and the fight continues. So this guy, is literally, what do you say? He lost his fear of fighting after he got to a certain level or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Damn. Senbansu Sakura. I don't know who the fuck that is. Senbansu Sakura. After a minute or so, I don't know what's happening right now. After a minute or so of the nonstop attacks of Captain,
that's his Bankai.
That's his Bankai. Byakuya Kuya, I'm saying that wrong again.
Byakuya
and Renji collapse, and they are in critical condition. Rukia, as well, is shown being struck down by another female member of the Sternritters. What is the scariest thing about this scene is, the dark imagery shown. Rukia's face just starts melting off, revealing muscle and bone, and the Captain Byakuya body parts are being infested by thousands of flies. That was kind of a crazy scene.
Yeah,
he's just like, that was. I wonder why they animated it that way. Is he afraid of flies in the show or something, or just wanted to show that?
No, I think it's just like when the Scarecrow uses his fear gas.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Unlike the other squad captains of Gochi 13, Kenpachi and Zaroki is enormously strong. And the time that it took for the squad captains to fight, one Sternritter Kenpachi killed three of them, literally bringing their dead bodies to Sternritter B. And what's his name?
Uich. Because he say, like, when they're in there, it say like a G. It's like Guichi or something like that.
Yeah. All
right. You wish.
I honestly don't know any of the names of the Sternritters, and I don't care.
Yeah. Scampi's pissed. I get it, though. He's announced that he is only interested in fighting the King of the Quincy's himself. In a series of flashbacks, one of the three Sternritters is briefly shown being outmatched by Kenpachi with a single strike. Sternritter O, the overkill, is in Sternritter's responsibility for slaughtering the Lieutenant Saskapi. In an earlier episode, he is shown to be prideful and arrogant, revealing his abilities without even to care for the world. Apparently, With every person that he kills, he grows stronger, stronger, and has killed 100 Soul Reapers during the first attack and is killing an additional 100 Soul Reapers in this attack. He actively is gloating about his strength right before he kills another squad member. Head Captain Yamamoto arrives on the scene. Since Sternrider O was the person responsible for Lieutenant Sasuke's death, he has full control of his over his Bankai. Rikuyu? I don't know how to say it. Unleashing the Bankai on the Head Captain, Sternrider O believes that he won. For the future reference, Sternrider O Bankai releases a swarm of purple lighting strikes that are kind of like crazy looking. They look pretty cool. Head Captain Yamamoto easily survives the attack and burns Sternrider out, burns him into a crisp. This is what I never seen how strong this guy really is yet.
So then he got you want me to do the recap for me? Because I can do the second.
Second half?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, dude. Because you saying these people named like they African. That's what Mike Hall said. Mike Hall said he made them African and Wakanda forever. So basically, I think what hits so much about this part of episode in episode six is that he pulls out the Yurich dude is able to take people's Bankai, and he had his lieutenants, his right hand man, Yamamoto's Bankai, homie's Bankai. So his right hand man, Yamamoto's right hand man, he killed him and took his Bankai 1,000 years ago, and he's like, "Hey man, you might remember this Bankai." And then he uses it on him. And then they go to this flashback of him being back there.
He helped him hone his Bankai and knew exactly what the ability was. Exactly. And it was like, if this was actually his Bankai, you would have beat me.
Yeah.
And it didn't. So that means it's probably, there's something up with this.
Right.
I think he wipes him off the.
Got him up out of there.
Yeah.
Got him up out of there. And he was like, "You might remember this." And then he was just like, that flashback was crazy too, because the dude was begging, like, "Hey, I want to be your right hand man." He's like, "Man, get out of here." So it shows that growth of how he grew on him. Even the flashback was cool because you see him with a black hair, his hair, all of that stuff.
He gave him a brand new scar. If we get the X on his head.
Exactly. He gave him a brand new scar, and they changed his name because of that and everything. So then he was like, "Bro, where my man at?" And at this time, the Soul Reapers are getting pushed, their backs against the wall. Like, they're damn near on the brink of death. And then Yamamoto is fucking pissed. He's like, "Dog, I'm tired of this shit, man." And he just fucking turns into a ball of flames damn near and rushes over to where Gooich at, where the main dude, the head of the Stone Riders is. The writers is like, he goes to them, and they see that. They feel that. All the other Soul Reapers that are still alive, they see that the head captains, they're like, "Oh, man, if, like, I haven't seen, you know, Yamamoto this mad, this hype in a long time, if our head captain getting active, we got to get active. Like, this is our leader. We can't be out here on the bullshit." So I think that gives them a second win. They like, "Oh, yeah, second win, let's do this." And then they start to fight back. They get hyped. They like, "My man is fighting." So all of the Soul Reapers that are still active, one of the main ones they were showing is homeboy with the eye patch, because he just got, he don't have eye patch yet. He got shot in the eye. He starts to fight back. And then Rukia, all of those guys starts to fight back. What are their names? The Stone Riders?
Stone Riders.
They start to fight those back, fight those guys back. And then here comes the moment that we all have been waiting for. Yamamoto pulls up on his old foe, and what they've been alluding to these past episodes is that Yamamoto had a chance to kill this guy, you know, the head of the Stone Riders, a long time ago, 1,000 years ago, but he's like, "Nah, man, I'm gonna let you live, big dog. I'm gonna let you live." And he's paying for it dearly. So it's like he came back and he's like, "What's up, big dog? I'm back. You should have killed me, but hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. But I'm here." And Yamamoto was all like, "Well, there's a reason why you couldn't steal my Bankai." And he was just like, "Bro, I've been holding shit down for the past 1,000 years. You think I got the same Bankai that I had from back in the day? You thought I just was just back here just chilling, sitting on my ass these past 1,000 years? I'm the head of the 13 court guards for a reason. Let me show your ass real quick." He finally unleashes his Bankai, which is, he said, and this is where shit get crazy, because he has everything in the Soul Society is incinerated. Because remember when he fought Aizen, he was like, "I can't bring out my Bankai because I will kill everybody." And he was just like, "All right, well, shit. Push come to shove, I got to bring it out." And it was flames. It was flames everywhere. Everything was on fire. And all of a sudden, all of the flames just went away. all of the flames went. It was just was light out, and the flames was going. Everybody was like, "What the fuck?" Homeboy, that got shot in the eye. He was sitting there like, "Wait, my lips are chapped." And he was, and then he realized
all the air.
He just took all of the moisture out of the fucking air, and he said, "Welcome to Bon Kai East. This is my Bon Kai East.
Death Row East in this bitch.
Death Row East in this motherfucker." Who give me? You know what? Who's a Death Row East artist?
Who was I think was MOP Death Row East at one point. I forgot.
I don't know. I just wanted to see if you. I didn't know either. That was a great Death Row East. I know Nas had a song. Whatever.
On a new album, yeah.
But all right. So he said, "This is my Bon Kai East," which was like a concentrated attack. Like he was just he slashed the Irish dude with his sword, and it cut through his like his shirt, and he was like, "Why I'm not dead?" And he was all like, "Oh, because I concentrated everything in the tip of my blade." And he touches like the rock that he was on, and just fucking explodes. The shit just blows up, and he's just like, "Damn, okay, I can't get touched with that again." And that's he was just like, "All right, that was cool. Like I showed you East, but guess what? That's not it. But wait, there's more." He comes with the Bon Kai West, brings all the fire back. All of the fire back. Shit is melting. He had temperatures of 15 million degrees. The ground was turning into fucking lava. When he was walking, you know that sound lava makes it bloop, bloop, bloop. Like that's what the ground was sounding like when he was walking. He was all like, "I'm about to hit. This is Bon Kai West Side. This is Pac. This is Dre. This is everybody right now. You about to get that Soul Reaper love right now." And he's hitting him, trying to, you know, everything that he's firing at him is just straight, I mean, for lack of better words, because it's true, straight fire. He's just, you know, fucking him up. He's dodging, moving, whatever. And he's like, oh, you think I'm done? If there's an East and there's a West, it got to be a South. And he's not, he literally uses the term South, which was, this was my favorite of the four. Bon Kai South, he said, "Hey, homeboy, I'm really going to bring somebody from the South. I'm going to bring all your dead homies. All the Stern Riders from the past 1,000 years that were killed in that war." He brings them up from the grave and they come out the grave. The animation in this was fucking sick.
Yeah.
All of the purplish, ghoulish looking, all the skeletons that coming out, and then slowly but surely they get flesh, they get their full faces back, and then all of those people start dragging him, grabbing onto Urich, and he's just like, "Bro, what the fuck?" And he got to see all of these people that he killed or that was killed by Soul Reapers. That was fucking crazy. And then he was able to, you know, mind over matter and get his way through it. He's just like, "Nah, fuck this. Like, I killed these motherfuckers. Oh, well, I don't give a fuck. I'm the man," and they were sacrificed for a reason. So Urich knocks all of them off and starts walking towards them. And he's like, "Well, you know, if there's a South, it's got to be a fucking North, boy. I'm about to hit you with that North Dakota action, that Canada action. You about to get this.
Canada.
You about to get hit with this Canada action." And then that's what it was, like the long sword. It was Bon Kai North. It's called Long Sword of the Remit Flame. Heaven and Earth end in ashes. That's some dope ass shit. And it's basically a concentrated slash of fire and heat, which incinerates whatever it touches out of existence. And that's exactly what the fuck he did. One slash, good night, got him out of here. That slash cut him in half, damn near cut him in half. His body was looking like a fucking U. This chest was looking like Usher's chain in 2000. Like, this shit was wild. And he just fell out on the ground, and he was like, "Bro, you up out of here. I told you, man, it's been 1,000 years. You've been underground. You've been doing something. I don't know what the fuck you've been doing, but it's not enough to get me out of here, big dog." And he just walks off. He's like, "You know what? You dead. Look at your body. You dead." Homie on the ground saying, "I'm sorry I failed you. I'm sorry I failed you. I didn't mean for it to be like this. I hope this was enough." And then Yamamoto turned back around like, "Bro, who the fuck are you talking to? Why are you looking at the sky? Why, who did you fail?" And he was like, and then he, like, his eyes started to get big, and then there's just a big explosion. And then you saw like a stone, and the stone was from basically it was like where Aizen was held. And he was like, why the fuck is this stone right here? Like, what's going on? Homeboy was a fake. The dude that he was fighting the entire time, one of the Stone Renders, I think the Stone Renders Z or
something like that. Yeah.
Q,
yeah.
One of the
I think it was Q, yeah.
Yeah. His power and his ability was he's able to clone people. And he cloned the head of the Quincy's and was just like, and he used all his power. So the whole time he was acting like the head of the Quincy's, and he really wasn't. The head of the Quincy's wasn't even in the fight. He was down there talking to fucking Aizen. So they cut to him and Aizen, and this is where I lost my shit. Because I'm like, oh no, they about to team up? Like,
yeah, that was intense.
Oh my God. Like, were you tripping when that? Like,
I was like, okay, are they going to? Because if they do, they're in for who knows what's going to happen.
What? And then so they cut to that scene. He walks up on Aizen, and he's like, hey man, hey, you going to roll with me? Or what? Like, I'm handling shit up there. We can tag team the ass, and they really won't be able to stop us. And then Aizen's like, bro, eat a dick. Like, I know you up there doing your thing, but at the same time, no. Like, no, I'm still a Soul Reaper at heart. I want the Soul Society to be straight. I just want them to be straight in my image, and you're not going to fuck that up. So I'm going to stay down here. And he was like, Yurichi dude was just like, hey, fam, like, I can't kill you because you fused with the Hojoku, so I'm going to just go ahead and just leave you down here. I thought we was going to be able to be friends, but I'm kind of figured you was just going to take the Soul Reaper route. So he goes back up, and they cut back to the present time, and he's all like, well, fam, you were right. I couldn't see you take your Bankai because we didn't see it, but now I seen east, west, north, south. I seen all the intermediate directions, all the main ones also. So what? You ain't got nothing else, boy. Go ahead and give me that Bankai. Let me get that Bankai up off you real quick. And that's what he did. He took the Bankai up off him real quick. And we end with blood. We end of, you know, Yamamoto trying to go out on his sword. And it just cuts to a white screen with a bunch of red blood, which we guess Yamamoto. Is Yamamoto dead? Find out
on the next time episode of Dragon Ball Z. You know what's funny? When I was seeing that, and thanks for the rest of that recap, I was just like, if he's dead, from what I've seen power scale-wise, from what y'all said, this show is over.
Pretty much, yeah. Because he said, if I'm the head, he's like, you think I got to be the head of the Soul Reapers for 1,000 years if I wasn't that guy?
Yeah. I mean, so after watching all that and after watching this incredible 2 episodes of fighting and just, like, blood spill and just animation and fire, flames, and ass whoopings, is there a swordsman that you think is stronger than Yamamoto?
Not at all, man. I was really racking my brain. I actually have an anime hot takes about this where I was talking about Captain Levi and how he was overrated. And one of the things that both Cam and I, because Cam was, you know, was on that episode with me too, we were both talking about, like, there's nobody in the Bleach universe that Levi can fuck with. But Yamamoto was one of those people that we referenced because he literally incinerates everything. I think when great swordsmen come to mind, and I even think, I hate to say this, but Brennan, I think, picked him in a draft we had a couple years last year.
He did.
And we wasn't fuck. We couldn't really.
We didn't know what was going on.
Didn't know what was going on. And we couldn't really say anything. And I said Killer B, and I felt like Killer B could rock with him. But I don't know. I think Killer B is going to have a tough time with him. I think swordsman-wise, sword for sword, I think Killer B can beat Yamamoto in a fight just because he has the 8 tails. But I think sword to sword, Yamamoto might get Killer B up out of here.
Well, because he's got that. If he activates his Bankai, you can't touch him. When he's covered in the flames, you can't lay a hand on him.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, and to, I guess, to the point, Killer B did struggle with fire because Sasuke, Sasuke used Amaterasu on him, which is flames, and that kind of hurt him a little bit. Swordsman, I think he's that guy, man. I think there's some other people, there's great swordsmen that come to mind.
Mm.
Guts comes to mind. Guts is a fucking dog. Levi is cool. The pillars are great. But I think if we saw maybe just one of these Bankais, then it's debatable. But the fact that he had 4, and if we're talking about scale and time, he's been a swordsman longer than probably any other swordsman in anime history.
Combined, yeah. I mean, yeah, because essentially he's
He won the fight, too. Even though we're thinking he's possibly dead, he did end up winning the fight. He was just fighting the wrong person.
He was just fighting the wrong person.
And the only reason they were able to beat him is because they took his power and used
exactly.
it against him.
Yeah, and so what do you think, Ken? You think he's the strongest? Is there a sword match you've seen anime-wise, or even maybe from even a different show, that's stronger or strong as him?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, if you're talking about if he gets
like Ichigo gets there kind of in the series, he kind of gets to a similar level where his abilities are. I don't think like a toe to toe swordsman he could fight him, but he's definitely Ichigo's up there with the power abilities.
Because I don't see
if like Ichigo had been around for 1,000 years, like if he was say as old as Yamamoto, then maybe they could go toe to toe and that'd be an interesting fight. But Ichigo's just too young to have that experience level.
1,000 years.
Yeah, I'm just thinking from if you're just talking about sword for sword, no activating the. You know, powers. Not being able to touch me, stuff like that. I think that maybe somebody can probably touch him at
someone
that particular
could,
point.
Even some of the sword work happens because, like, Kenpachi Zaraki is never. He never learned the name of his sword, and he never. He doesn't know what his bankai is.
Yeah,
he's just that good at. Just
you don't ever use
being
it.
That good.
Akame. Somebody said Akame. Akame. I think Akame is just like she had trouble with Ezdef, so I can't really. Akame's a dog.
Ezdef ain't no slouch though either.
But Ezdef is not a slouch. But I don't think anybody in. The Akame got killed world is seeing the Soul Reapers.
Especially with the flash step.
Yeah.
I think I'm going two ways. I'm going, if you're just talking about strictly sword work, no extra activated powers, then I think, you know, possibly even some Demon Slayers can maybe be able to get him.
Possibly, yeah.
Sword work wise.
But if he's quick though, man.
He is. But if you're activating his power, I don't see anybody being close.
Once he activates his ability, you're done.
Yeah. I think it's a wrap for everybody. I think he's handling everybody. 1 versus 10 if he's fighting these motherfuckers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because I'm going through this list. I mean,
they don't have the power strength.
Rurouni Kenshin's not getting him up out of here. Ichigo, they have him. Uehara, I haven't seen nothing from him that would make me believe that. Sasuke would win that fight only because of his eyes, not his sword play. Zabuza, same thing. Guts is a dog. Guts has seen a lot. I think out of anybody on this list, just pure swordsmanship, Guts may be able to do this, but Guts is still a human. And I'm just going through both Jin and Mugen are not touching this man. Levi's getting washed. Yeah, like not Vicious, same thing. I don't even know why Vicious is on this list. Mm. I don't see anybody beating Yamamoto. Especially the four Bankais is what put it over for me.
Yeah. All right. So after watching the captain, do you guys think he's also the strongest flame user? And then also, who is your favorite flame user? It doesn't have to be because he's the strongest. It can be a whole different flame user.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's the strongest flame user? From what I've seen out of this, it seems like at this scale right now, out of the animes that I've seen, when I'm going through my head right now, at least off the top of my head, I feel like he might be the strongest flame user from what he can do. He has so many, like, I guess, I don't want to say quirks, but, like, you know.
He beating Colonel Mustang?
Man, that's tough because I feel like, I don't know, if this dude, he had to, 15 million Celsius? I don't think Mustang is getting somewhere like that. I don't
15 million degrees, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, lava in the ground.
Literally, like, every step was like he was, like, melting everything around him. I don't think
he beating Inferno?
Inferno?
Endeavor, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I was
Endeavor.
Like, Inferno.
Endeavor. I'm sorry.
That was the only person I was thinking, like, maybe, and then some stuff I've seen from the manga, from My Charizard. Hero 2.
I was going to say Charizard. That was my pick.
You're going Charizard?
Ain't nobody fucking with Charizard, man.
you telling me Yamamoto can't be Charizard?
No. He can fly. Charizard can fucking fly.
Yamamoto can't fly?
No,
he can jump really far.
Shoot through air.
They can walk in the air. I don't know how they are able to. So they're not necessarily flying. They're like.
They're just leaping really far.
They're Shinigamis, so they're not humans.
Yeah.
They got powers.
I mean, Charizard is that guy, man. Like.
this is wild you're saying.
So
a
Ash,
fucking Pokemon.
Technically, Ash can beat Yamamoto.
Dog. Are you in agreement with this game?
No.
Ash can beat Yamamoto, man. I mean, that flamethrower ain't no joke, man. Takes people down to zero HP
with
ease.
But I feel like Yamamoto's probably immune to flames.
There it is.
You can't. You'd have to use water or something. Or water, wind.
Bulbasaur. I mean, not Bulbasaur, Squirtle.
Yeah,
Squirtle
would have to be the...
Blastoise?
Blastoise. Blastoise would get him up out of here. They said Natsu. I saw Natsu on a list. I don't watch Fairy Tail, so I don't know what he is. He might be. I heard some people say Escanor from Seven Deadly Sins because he has like an axe and flames. I don't know. I say Charizard is my pick as my favorite. I mean, it depends on what day it is. I think honestly, my favorite flame person would be Mustang. My favorite would be Mustang. I don't see nobody beating Yamamoto, but that's such a top five anime moment for me. And this is a top anime moment for me too.
This is up there.
This is like probably one of the greatest anime moments that I've fortunately been able to watch. But yeah, one-on-one fight, I don't know. I don't really see nobody. I'm looking at a list right now.
I'm just saying, who do you think is he the strongest?
I think he's strongest. Think he's the strongest.
What do you feel, Cam? Strongest flame user and your favorite?
Probably both. I'd say flame user. Mustang's definitely up there, but I mean Yamamoto is just
because I see more Mustang, and I know like I saw what Mustang went through. I saw when he, I always forget. Was it Envy? He got Envy up out of here. That was such a special moment. He lost his glove.
He incinerated Lust, and then he started fucking up Envy.
And for what he did to May Hughes, I think all of that. I think from a character perspective, I'm much more attached to Mustang. Like to the point where when I get my anime tat, Mustang will be one of those people I get tatted because he's a dog.
Yeah. From a strength perspective, I might have to agree with you guys. Maybe I just haven't seen enough flame.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it could be that. But from a flame perspective, like I said, I've never seen something like this before. 15 million degrees Celsius.
Yeah, that's it.
This guy.
Pulling up dead people from the fucking ground. Grave.
Like his the tip of his sword just sparking up and being able to blow fucking shit up like that.
That's sick.
That shit was crazy to me. And I was telling Cam, I guess I'll get to that in my take. But, My favorite. Oh man! I mean, Todoroki's at a full flame user, but he is, I guess, in a sense.
Rengoku.
He got dog fucking, walked though,
he's
man.
He's a fucking loser.
He's a loser, bro.
He's a fucking loser. R.I.P. to loser.
He'll save you. He'll die in the moment.
Somebody gave a take and said Rengoku knew he was going to die because
savored his meal.
Yeah, savored his meal, whatever case like that. Like the Demon Slayer, you savor your meal.
I think that was more character than.
I think it was too, but.
Somebody,
he's getting dog walked, so I can't.
Well, I think he was going into it. I think they try to go into probably every mission, like I might die in this.
Yeah, especially he's gonna fight an upper moon. He's like, this can be life or death type shit. But I want to go Todoroki, man. I want to go Shoto Todoroki as my favorite. I think he has a dope fucking fight coming up, and it is going to be absolutely, absolutely insane when that shit is animated, and I can't fucking wait till it's animated. It's gonna be so fucking crazy. So he's currently my favorite flame user. We're already an hour and 12 in, man. Let's give our likes, dislikes, and our scores. Killer Cam, man. I know you're a police guy, so you can jump in on this with us. Likes, dislikes of these two episodes and score.
I mean, I dislike everybody dying. But this is really solid. There's nothing really that I don't like about what they're doing so far. Granted, I don't know the whole story, so let's see what happens. That fight was like what we've all been waiting to see since watching Bleach, because we never got to see a lot of these guys' powers released, especially the Bankais, because there's a few other captains that we've never seen them with their abilities.
Homie with the pink.
Probably going to come out in this fight, I'm assuming. It seems like the time when you would really need it. So I'm really looking forward to what's coming next. Rating-wise, I haven't done a rating in a while. Just these two episodes or the whole, so far, Bleach is
two
a
whole? Episodes.
Two episodes.
Oh, well, these two so far have been the best two episodes, I would say, of Bleach. Probably, let's see, maybe like 8,300.
Okay.
Having not seen the rest of the show, I'll leave it at like that, because who knows if it gets better. I hope it gets better.
Yeah. I'll give you Rob's scores and likes, dislikes. He said, Bleach continues to impress, and it's banging on all cylinders. Even as someone who hasn't watched a vast majority of the show, I'm hyped, and Yamamoto fight was fucking awesome. 8,200 from Rob. I'm in agreement with you guys have seen the show and seen everything to it. Mm-hmm. I watched this. I'm watching this, and I was telling Cam earlier. I was just like, I don't think I need to go back and watch anything. I don't. At least I don't care to.
Probably yeah. not. If you see, that's the thing. Like, you can go back and watch it, but it's not going to feel the same rewatching yeah. this. We're watching this with so much more information.
I would say if you watched, maybe if they had a 50-minute recap or something that you can watch, I think I would highly suggest that.
Like a long recap online or something.
Yeah, that just kind of breaks down everything because I think stuff hits harder. Watching it
because right now all the people that are dying that you guys love, I'm sure it don't mean much to me, but I know from a power scale perspective, you guys said they're fucking strong as hell.
Yeah. Well, were good. Like even the smaller side characters, some of them had
Kira.
Like the one, there was one blonde haired, I forget his lieutenant. Was it
Kira?
Lieutenant Kira. Yeah. His Zanpakuto. Whenever you get cut by it, your weight doubles. Yeah. Mm. So if he cuts your arm now weighs twice as what it used to, and every time he cuts it, it doubles and doubles and doubles until basically you can't move anymore.
Shit, that's pretty dope.
It's a pretty dope sword power. But no, he got wiped out like he was nothing. So like that hurt a little bit.
Yeah,
sometimes that happens to your side characters.
And he got out of there on some weak shit. Like it wasn't no fight
or nothing.
Yeah,
the portal hadn't even opened all the way.
Yeah, he just got killed like fodder.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, so watching this animation is top tier. I forgot the animation studio that's doing this, but they're doing top tier work. These fights were hype. I remember you guys were saying before I watched it, I was just like, yo, this is some of the greatest anime that you've ever seen before. It's a top tier. These are top tier episodes. Yeah. I would have to agree. I would have to agree that these are definitely top tier episodes of anime that I was watching. And I'm excited for this to keep going. I am, like I said, I haven't watched. I feel like this is its own separate thing, kind of. It's like there's recaps here enough for it to catch me up. Mm-hmm. But it's just like I'm watching this. I'm just like, damn, this is like, if this show gets reanimated with that,
yeah,
I might go back and give it some time to watch.
They do a Bleach Kai.
They do like a Bleach Kai or whatever the case may be. So yeah, I am going to give this an 8,300 myself. This is just fire, no pun intended. This was all the way through.
Period.
There was not a. Yeah, there was not a.
Studio Perry.
Yeah, it was no. What else have they done again?
They've done Naruto, Yu Yu Hakusho, Black Clover, Boruto, Naruto Next Generation, Tokyo Ghoul.
Tokyo Ghoul.
They got heaters under their belt.
They got a lot of the classic.
We do this.
Anime. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, yeah. This show is. Do you feel like this, I guess last thing, do you guys feel like this show is about to leapfrog itself as the big three, number one big three?
This arc might, I don't know, we'll see.
We haven't seen Naruto, so we can't give our perspective, I guess, on that case.
I think Naruto is so big. I think it's just this, and they waited too long. I think that you would probably have a stronger conversation.
Naruto really fills this gap of time where they got so I think much if content. They, but if also, they like, is did all of it, it, I mean, I don't know.
If they did it, from 2016, kept it going, you might have a stronger argument, but I think to Naruto's point, it's just such a dominant, huge, like, I mean, behind fucking Pikachu and Goku, people know Naruto.
Yeah.
So I think, you know.
Kids who don't know what anime is probably know who Naruto is.
Exactly. So I think that's even the Naruto run, like, I think it's just such a big thing that it will never be. Now, there's nothing Bleach can do or One Piece can do that they would be the number one over Naruto, and that's bias away.
I think it's like a household name. It's like you said, it's very much on the lines of Pikachu. Whereas I feel like Bleach is kind of aged up a little bit. It's not much for the younger generation. Yeah. They wouldn't get as much out of it. It's definitely a lot more violent.
Yep.
And I feel like Luffy, he's up there from a main character perspective, but I don't think he is. He's not up there with Naruto.
Yeah.
One Piece is prolific because there's 1,000+ episodes of that show. That's, yeah. I think
that's who Bleach. If you have technically, if some people a lot of people have Bleach at the bottom of the big three. I think Bleach can make a case to beat out One Piece, but Naruto is so fucking far that it's just like they're basically fighting for number two at this point. Just like whoever the other big three would be with Dragon Ball Z, they're fighting for number two because you're not going to get Dragon Ball Z.
From that influence and everything that is done.
I think the same thing now. You can say it, Jujutsu Kaisen, whoever you have at number
three.
You're in
the top three, even if you're number three.
You're still in the top three. I think whoever's now, I think Demon Slayer is so fucking far ahead of everybody. Jujutsu Kaisen, whoever you have, either JoJo's, Black Clover, Attack on Titan, and My Hero, they're fighting for number two. Like, there's nothing, and I haven't seen My Hero, but there's nothing Jujutsu Kaisen or anybody else can do that's going to be able to catch Demon Slayer.
Yeah, you read the manga on Jujutsu Kaisen already, right?
Yeah.
You caught up. Yeah. All right, so what are your likes, dislikes, scores for this?
I think this is, for sure, one of the greatest episodes of anime that I've ever seen in my entire life. I think we fought. So, you know, one of my biggest gripes about the original Bleach is that it was the back half of that, the very end of it, that the end of that Aizen arc, it was so many pump fakes. It was so many things I didn't get to see. White hair guys didn't see his Bankai. Pink kimono dude, I didn't get to see his Bankai. Yamamoto didn't get to see his Bankai. And then some other stuff happened, transpired with Aizen in his last fight that I wasn't too happy with. So I think for me, just going into watching this episode and finally seeing it, and finally seeing Yamamoto who fought Aizen and didn't use his Bankai, bring it out for the King of the Quincy's, it was huge, and it was worth the wait. Having four fucking Bankais is wild. The way that they animated it, the way all four of them were different, and how he displayed all four of them, and then to play on our emotions, because I think from a writing perspective, you want to give the characters, the good guys, a win at some point, because they've been getting watched since this arc has started.
Yeah.
So it's just like they were defeated. You
kind of make
that
payoff feel that much
exactly
better.
Yeah. And then that made me, so it's just like they open with a win. It's just like, fuck yeah, you get hype, and then they punch you right in the dick. Like right after that, it's like, nah, this was a fake. I was down there talking to Aizen. Just like the emotional roller coaster that they had me on in 30 minutes or less was, I mean, it was perfection. And I really believe that. I really don't have any dislikes with that episode. I think the animation was solid. The story was solid. The Bankais were solid. Even seeing, you know, even in the beginning when the Yurish dude had Zenpachi, Kenpachi, mm-hmm. who was, you know, at that time, has really never taken a loss. I don't even count the Ichigo loss as a loss, because that was Aizen. So, like, for him holding up Kenpachi like that and tossing him like he was a fucking rag doll, I was like, oh, this man is serious. And then for him to get watched like he did by Yamamoto, I mean, I don't know. It was immaculate. So, give it an 8,900. I'm not from the school of thought of, like, you have to, like, I want to leave room. I think there's a Godfather 1 and a Godfather 2, and both of them are 10s. So on the scale, I get this episode of 8,900.
I mean, I hope the fight when Ichigo finally defeats the Quincy King is as epic as this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that it is. Because they have, if this is, what, episode 6?
They have to go somewhere to go. I think, I don't know. And if they don't, I'm at the point now, if they get around this, I'll be fine.
Yeah, if it's at the same level as this,
this is the 8,900. Fuck it. Like, this is a 9,000. This is a 9,000.
This episode's a 9,000.
This is a 9,000.
This is a perfect score.
This is a perfect episode.
Wow.
I'm not opposed.
You just not
just this episode by itself.
Because I was just like, I'm not, and that doesn't leave. If they do something else that give me a 9,000, I don't want to spoil the newest episode. It was a great episode. It wasn't a 9,000 episode, but still a great episode.
Oh, and so you've seen episode
7? The new episode and some information that they dropped. The information that they dropped in this episode is fucking mind blowing, but it's fucking wild. But 9,000. I'm not gonna pull punches. If they do something great after this, cool. There's very few episodes I feel like are on this level. Maybe the Itachi Sasuke fight is probably a 9,000 episode. Probably, you know, I can give you a list of a couple maybe, but this was a top tier episode, and I'm not gonna play around. 9,000.
All right. I mean,
Ice's first 9,000. Have you given someone else a 9,000?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I give anything a 9,000.
I feel like when stuff gets animated, we got some 9,000 in our future.
Yeah,
when some stuff that's
Demon
in the manga
stuff that's coming out, I'm sure
we got some. And I was reading it like when this gets animated, I'm giving it a 9,000.
Yeah, same.
And Keenan already knows, but yeah, it's fucking, I think it's 9,000. It's fucking 9,000. That was a beautiful episode. That was a fucking great episode. And just the roller coaster that it took me on for 30 minutes to make me feel what I felt and have that payoff from what I went through of watching 365 fucking episodes. It was worth it. It was worth it.
All right. So, yeah, that is, the Bleach, recap. And yeah, that show is kind of being, this go around, this season, this little end of anime season one right now, in this the later months, is Bleach is holding down the fort for real.
Bleach is telling y'all like y'all fucking forgot. The real hold on, wait a minute, y'all thought I was finished. That's what the name of this episode need to be. Hold on, wait a minute, y'all thought I was finished because fucking Bleach said, hey man, I'm back in this bitch and I'm a lot more rich. Got new animation. Y'all gonna see this fucking Bankai East West North South. I'm in his man's, like, I'm killing him, sword straight to the mouth. I'm not playing with y'all.
Look, I'm not knocking these episodes of My Hero too. These episodes of My Hero are like 8,000 tier also. Like these the last one or two.
Yeah, from what you and Robin have been saying.
Yeah, Brent, it's been turned up very similarly to where motherfuckers are like getting up out of here and we're seeing like the villains go to fucking work. But yeah, like so I know Rod Norman does an artist for his thing, so I found one real quick. His name is John Patrick Ganas. I might be saying that wrong. Ganas, G-A-N, accent mark over the N-A-S. He does a lot of real cool, just like cool style animation. It's pretty dope. It's like a lot of like not necessarily demons, but kind of like, if you guys can see some of that, it's kind of crazy.
Nobody can see that.
Yeah, they can't see that at all.
Not at all.
But anyways,
what's the handle again?
Patrick Ganas.
Patrick Ganas. Can you spell that last one?
G-A-N-A-S. Yeah, some pretty cool stuff on here.
That's dope. Is that from you or is that from Rob?
That's from me. Rob's busy. So, yeah. Cam, Stickman Studios, no C in there, just a K. Ice,
Don McGowan on everything, and I just want to say it again, that episode was one of the greatest fucking anime episodes in the entire world.
Yeah, man. I want to thank everybody that came out to our show, Bonfire Stories, the show that Ice and I run. It was a super, super dope show, packed house. Great stories were told.
Yep.
We're looking at most likely a January date coming back up.
Yep.
So if you are any of our fans and you are in town in the Los Angeles area, please, please, please come through.
Yep.
We will give out the date, of course, and you will know when we have the date for January. But come through. It is something different that you're going to ever experience from any other comedy show that you come to. I promise you that. Keenan Baker on every single thing. Follow me. I will be in, this will be a while from now, but Arizona, December 15th through the 17th. I will be out there with Tony Baker. And then New Year's, I will be out in Virginia Beach with Tony Baker again, y'all. So anything else? Anything? That's it. Next week, we'll be watching My Hero Academia and with Mob Psycho.
Yeah.
Finishing up some Mob Psycho. It's been a little slow. Have you been caught up on Mob yet?
Yeah. It's getting real slice of lifey, and I'm not a fan.
Sounds like
it'll amp up. If it's
I know. They've taken longer to amp up than I want them to. It's usually three episodes, and they get after it, and they really haven't got after it yet, so...
And y'all keep telling me about season two. Anyways.
No, season two, I stand by that. You're fucking... Enjoy that shirt,
yeah,
you
no
bastard.
Matter how this ended, yeah. It ends. You need
season two is a real thing. Like, that already happened.
All right, y'all, man. So thank y'all, as always, and see us next week. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever. Yeah.